Listening Library presents Last Shot, a Final Four Mystery by John Feinstein. Read for you by me, the author. Dear Stephen Thomas, it is my great pleasure to inform you that you have been selected by the U.S. Basketball Writers Association as one of the two winners in this year's USBWA 14 and Under Writing Contest. Your story, Nothing Like the Palestra, was selected by the judges from more than 200 entries. Congratulations! You and your co-winner, Susan Carol Anderson, will be flown, courtesy of the USBWA, to New Orleans to participate as working journalists at this year's Final Four. Press credentials and a hotel room have been arranged for you and a guardian, and our executive director, Joe Mitch, will be in touch with you shortly to set up plane flights and to answer any questions about your schedule attached here. You should plan on arriving no later than Thursday evening, since the presentation of your award will take place Friday morning. We hope you stay right through the championship game on Monday night. We look forward to seeing you in New Orleans at what we all hope will be just the first of many Final Fours you will cover in your journalism career. Again, congratulations on a wonderfully reported and written story. Best wishes, Bobby Kelleher, President, USBWA. Chapter 1. The Letter. Stevie Thomas read the letter once, then twice, then a third time to be sure it was real. Then he started screaming, "Mom! Mom! Mom!" Stevie suffered a few bad moments when his mom said she wasn't sure she or his father could get away from work to go with him, and then started fussing about all the time off from school. But somehow Stevie knew his dad wasn't going to turn this down. After all, Bill Thomas had been the one who had first introduced his son to sports, specifically basketball. He had started taking Stevie to see Philadelphia's Big Five, Temple, Villanova, St. Joseph's, Pennsylvania, and LaSalle, when he was four. Going to basketball games had been Bill and Stevie's thing. Occasionally they went to see the 76ers play, but neither of them thought the NBA was really worth their time. Stevie had written a story for his school's monthly newspaper, the Mainline Chronicle, about watching players on the 76ers bench sit and laugh and tell jokes during the last few minutes of a 20-point loss to the woeful Washington Wizards. But the college players really cared. It was through the Chronicle that he had heard about the USBWA writing contest. The paper had received a press release inviting anyone 14 and under to enter the contest. What got Stevie's attention was the line at the bottom of the release. Two winners will be chosen to fly to New Orleans to be members of the working press during the Final Four. Right there in one sentence were both his dreams come true. A chance to go to the Final Four and to go there with a press pass. Stevie had taught himself to read at age 5, using the sports section, so the reporters were as big heroes to him as the players and coaches. His favorite Philly reporter was Dick Girardi. But it wasn't long before he learned he could call up stories from other papers online, so he could read Mike Lupica and Dick Weiss from the New York Daily News, and his two heroes, Tony Kornheiser and Mike Wilbon, who he knew worked for the Washington Post since he watched them every day on Pardon the Interruption. Stevie wanted to really impress the judges with his reporting skills, so he called the main number at the Daily News and asked to speak to Dick Girardi. To his delight, Girardi called him back the next day, and when he explained that he wanted to write a story about the Palestra, Girardi gave him the names and phone numbers for all the local SIDs, short for Sports Information Director, who could help him with his story. Sean May, the SID, Stevie liked using the term, it made him feel like a pro, at Penn, had given him a press credential to cover the Penn-Columbia game. Stevie and his dad had gone to the Palestra a million times before, but this time his dad was in the bleachers and Stevie was on press row. He decided that night, even before sitting down to write the story, that this was definitely what he wanted to do when he grew up. Get paid to have the best seats at a basketball game? Get to talk to the players and interview Coach Fran Dunphy? Have someone bring statistics to your seat at every timeout? Eat for free in the press room before the game? Dad, why would anyone want to do anything else? His father, who worked in a large law firm downtown, nodded. I've thought about that more than once myself, he said. Of course, you know sports writers don't make very much money. Kornheiser and Wilbon do, Stevie answered. Lupica does. That's 3 out of 1,000, his dad answered, and they only make money because they're on TV. He had a point. But still, if you could get paid at all to go to games and have the best seats in the house, you were pretty lucky. Stevie spent hours putting together his story, making the palestra the feature rather than the game. He poured 10 years worth of avid fandom into his writing, and when he was finished, he had almost 3,000 words. The contest rules said no more than 1,000. Cutting 2/3 of what he had written was painful, but he thought the end result was pretty strong. He sent the story in just before the January 15th deadline and waited, hoping against hope he might win. Now he had to wait until his father came home to make it official. Naturally, he was late. It was almost 7 by the time he heard the car pull into the garage. Stevie was waiting for him, letter in hand, when his dad walked inside. "Nice to see you too," he said as Stevie thrust the letter at him without saying hello. But then he started to read. "Wow," he said. "Stevie, that's great. I'm so proud of you." "So I can go?" he said. "What did your mother say?" "She said I can go if you can go with me." Dad smiled. "I think that could be arranged. I'm sure I could scalp a ticket down there if I had to." "Scalp what?" Mom said, walking into the room. "A ticket to get into the Final Four," Dad said, waving the letter. "What about work for you and school for Stevie?" "Hon, this is a once-in-a-lifetime chance. Plus, he earned it by winning the contest. I really think he'll learn a lot from the trip." She smiled. "Uh-huh. And clearly you won't mind going either. Not even a little bit." And so it was settled. But Stevie knew his dad was wrong about one thing. This would not be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. For him, it would be a first-in-a-lifetime experience. He would see to that. If Stevie had been in charge, he and his dad would have flown to New Orleans on the first flight available on Thursday morning. That would have given them all afternoon to hang out at the coach's hotel. "The coach's hotel? What in the world is that?" his father asked when Stevie broached the idea. "All the basketball coaches in the world go to the Final Four," Stevie said. "It's like a convention or something. And there's this one hotel where they all stay and hang out. I mean, except for the four whose teams are playing." "How do you know all this?" "I read it in that book you gave me for Christmas last year." "I should have known." But it turned out 6:30 was the earliest his dad could get away. They had connected in Atlanta and arrived at the hotel a few minutes after 11, which with the time change meant it was after midnight on Stevie's body clock. Still, when he and his dad walked into the sparkling lobby of the Hyatt Regency New Orleans, he forgot how tired he was. A large sign just inside the door said, "Welcome Final Four Media." Proud and still a little amazed, Stevie thought to himself, "That's me." They made their way to the front desk to check in. There was only one person working, and the man ahead of them was engaged in a loud argument with that person. "Look, I've been in the car for 14 hours today," Stevie heard the man say. "I really don't need this. I know my reservation was for a suite. I don't want one of those tiny little rooms you give to people. I didn't come here to spend 4 days sleeping in a closet." "Sir, this is a king-size room, and as I said, if we can upgrade you tomorrow, we will. You can speak to the manager about the confusion in your reservation in the morning." "Confusion?" the man shouted. "There's no confusion. You screwed up. This is outrageous. I mean, don't you have any idea who I am?" Suddenly, Stevie knew exactly who the man was. "Dad," he hissed, "that's Tony Kornheiser." His dad smiled. "Sounds like he's having a bad night." At that moment, Kornheiser turned around and looked at them. I'm really sorry about this. They screwed up my reservation." Disgustedly, he took the key that the clerk was now handing him. "This isn't the end of this," he said to the clerk. "Have a good night," he said to Stevie and his dad as he walked towards the elevators. "You too, Mr. Kornheiser," Stevie said. "I hope the rest of the weekend gets better for you." Kornheiser stopped and smiled at Stevie. He pointed at the clerk, then at Stevie. "You see," he said, "he knows who I am." He turned and walked away. "Dad," Stevie said with a grin, "I have a feeling this is going to be the most unbelievable..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?